Good afternoon. It's nearly 12 noon and time for the KMXT Midday News. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station. Currently 34 degrees here in Kodiak. We're looking at rain today, mainly afternoon. Cloudy skies, high near 44 today, so warmer temperatures. 48% chance of rain before 9 p.m. tonight. We're awaiting an update from the Emergency Operations Center coming right up.
Good afternoon, Kodiak. Thank you for joining us again today, November 5th, 2020. My name is Mike Twenge, the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Director. Behind me are members of the Emergency Services Council. We meet each Thursday as a group and more often as needed. I believe last week we met about four times talking about our closures. There's been a recent acceleration of COVID-19 cases here on the island. These cases are both travel-related and community spread. The number of cases in the state are directly related to the Kodiak spread. As people travel, they unfortunately come in contact with the virus and bring it back with them. The state of Alaska reported 1,769 new cases since Sunday. 1,800 cases since Sunday, folks, and 80 Alaskans are currently hospitalized. The number of deaths continue to rise as well. There have been 79 Alaskan deaths. Kodiak announced two new cases today, 10 since Monday, and we have 36 active cases. This is a large number for Kodiak. Overall, the community has done pretty well controlling the virus. At least we're not in the red status where we would need to close business. But what hasn't worked well is travel to and from the island. It is evident, even during a pandemic, that travel is continuing with a steady passenger count of 82 to 84 passengers per flight. The message of quarantine upon arrival, get a test or stay home if you are sick, is not universally accepted. People don't care to be told what to do or believe it is as contagious and crippling as the testimonials from those who have contracted the virus and recovered. Symptoms like loss of smell, severe headache, sore throat, and upset digestive tract are not enough to concern everyone. Locally, the Kodiak Island Borough School District closed schools for 2 weeks until November 13th because of the virus. The community risk level moved to yellow last Friday, the second level of restriction. The yellow risk level, according to the community mitigation plan, limits gatherings to 20 people if they do not have the ability to social distance. Also, masks are strongly recommended. Now, how would this affect local restaurants or churches? They are limited to seating capacities, such as every other table, booth, or pew. A guideline is 50% occupancy. However, that will need to be determined by each business. Of course, a family can sit together at a table. Right now, we have no business closures, even though some establishments have suggested this. For a limited time, there have been recreation closures at the school gyms, the swimming pool, the teen center, and the ice rink. Know that we will open them as soon as we feel the risk will be low. The ESC understands the inconvenience this causes, but the goal here is to limit those gatherings at non-essential facilities in order to get a hold on the virus. We are reevaluating each day and will make a future decision whether to reopen by November 13th. From the number of calls and emails received, it is clear folks believe they can be reopened safely, but for now they remain closed. Advice to the business community: Please ask your staff and patrons to wear a mask, limit the patron capacity, consider appointment shopping. The reason the EOC says this is because if we as a community cannot control the rapid community acceleration, there will be a tighter restriction on our movements and business. Don't forget about the hunker down status we all endured this spring. It wasn't pretty, and it caused a lot of hardships. We weathered that, but it could come back. Myself included, we're all getting tired of planning for events and at the last minute needing to cancel them. Locally, there have been millions of dollars injected into our community through PPP, and the CARES Act. Those dollars are drying up. At this point, don't rely on another economic recovery of funding if we need to close businesses. For all of us to stand back and consider, what can we do as a community to prevent another closure? The state of Alaska grants local authority to manage and mitigate the emergency health disaster, and thinking ahead, we may not follow the earlier definitions of what an essential business is. Descriptions were quite broad and may be retracted to allow for control of the virus. Now consider that for a moment. It is going to take business, customers, agencies, schools, everyone to look ourselves in the mirror and take personal responsibility. Don't become a close contact. Use all of your tools to avoid the virus. Respect one another and be a leader. You've heard me say this over and over again. I don't want to bore you, but this is serious. Who hasn't heard of Chivac, Alaska? This community located in the western part of the state is now going through a COVID crisis. They're very, very remote. They have brought the virus to town and now 20% of the community residents are sick. This is reality. For those naysayers believing it is just a cold or similar to the flu, ask those who have had the virus or if you know someone who went through the infection. I've talked with those recovered and it is different from the flu. We have a very terrific testing capacity here on the island, and I ask you to take advantage of this service. We have the capacity to test thousands right now, so you are not inconveniencing anyone. Call CANA at 486-9870 or KCHC at 481-5000 to schedule a test. They've moved their sites. CANA is now located at 3472 East Reznov Drive, and KCHC is located at 3248 Mill Bay Road. Call those numbers to make that appointment, 486-9870 or 481-5000. Additionally, the state airport testing tent is behind the Blue Island Air Building, directly across from the exits of the terminal, in the ground tent. They are open during the Alaska Airlines arrival schedules. Kodiak Emergency Services Council has directed the Kodiak EOC to provide airport greeters during all daily Alaska Airline arrivals. These greeters will inform passengers of quarantine requirements, testing options, and local restrictions. This is in its infancy right now. However, the ESC met with the directors of the Alaska Unified Command of the State Emergency Operations Center and the State Department of Health and Social Services to inform them of the plan. They were supportive, and Kodiak has the support of the DOT commissioner. I know many of you are supportive of the mitigation measures this community has taken to limit the spread of this nasty virus, and we all greatly appreciate what you're doing. Please continue in these safeguards. Wear that mask. Stand back from people outside of your family bubble, and wash your hands with bubbly soap. It's that lather that kills the virus. For those of you that don't believe we need to control this virus, I don't know how to reach you. But do understand there are others around you, at the store, the post office, or at work, that may not have the option to roll the dice. Think of them, not just yourself. It's not always comfortable to wear a mask, especially all day long, but try. You might just save a life. Let's stand up and together drive this virus back. We will be living with the virus for months, maybe years, so let's learn how to avoid getting sick. We'll see you again next Thursday at noon for another community update. Stay safe, my neighbors.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information,
support for KMXT's Midday Report is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Webb.
Just a second there, Lainey. Well, as we just heard from the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization, we have two new cases in the Kodiak Island Borough. Both cases are Kodiak residents and close contacts of people who had recently traveled. Contact tracing investigations remain underway. We have had 10 new cases now since Monday. This brings the case count in Kodiak Island Borough since COVID arrived to 140 cases, with 36 cases currently classified as active. Alaska is continuing to see high daily new COVID case counts and hospitalizations. The State Department of Health and Social Services announced 405 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases yesterday. Alaska's average daily case rate is now 49 per 100,000 people. The DHSS reported no new deaths, but there were 5 additional hospitalizations, and there are currently 86 confirmed COVID patients, plus 9 awaiting test results hospitalized statewide. 9 patients are on ventilators. A DHSS issued analysis of last week shows virus transmission accelerated in Alaska for a record 5th week in a row with 2,600 new cases, record high numbers of COVID patients in Alaska hospitals, and 15 virus deaths, 4 of which occurred within the week. State Chief Medical Officer Ann Zink addressed the situation during an online question and answer session yesterday.
We are seeing hospitalizations pick up, and we are also seeing deaths pick up. So we are seeing both of those starting to increase across the state.
Dr. Zink emphasized that the sheer number of cases is the issue, as in general, most people are not getting severely ill, and those who are hospitalized are less likely now to die.
Because we have a better understanding about the disease and we have better treatment options.
Zink added that Alaska is entering a really challenging phase of the pandemic.
We are indoors. We have a lot of people that can come together in close spaces, and we have a lot of virus.
Despite having 300 people doing contact tracing, state epidemiologist Dr. Joe McLaughlin said that the state cannot keep up with the new cases and is relying on the public to help slow the spread of the disease.
We're backlogged, and so if you test positive, we are going to rely very heavily on you to notify your own contacts as quickly as possible and let them know that you are positive and they were in close contact with you, and so they should put themselves into quarantine and monitor for symptoms.
Dr. McLaughlin underscored the importance of getting tested right away if you have any COVID symptoms.
Right around that symptom onset time, because that's when you're going to have the highest likelihood of that test being positive.
McLaughlin said knowing that allows an infected person to take immediate action in both self-isolation and in reaching out to those they've had close contact with. Another 500 absentee votes from Kodiak were received by the Alaska Divisions of Elections yesterday, raising Kodiak's mail-in total to 6,036 ballots, a record for the district. Adding these ballots to the Election Day total of 4,022 gives Kodiak a voter turnout of nearly 7,100, a few hundred short of the record set in 2016 of 7,500. With 14,000 registered voters, Kodiak's voting district, which includes Cordova and Yakutat, has already surpassed 50% voter turnout for the 2020 elections, but is smaller than 2016's turnout of almost 60%. However, more absentee ballots for Kodiak will be received by the Division of Elections over the next few days, so it is likely that Kodiak will match 2016's turnout. While Kodiak results show Republicans leading in the presidential and U.S. Senate race by a margin of over 1,200 votes, some races are separated by only a few hundred, including the U.S. House race between Elise Galvin and Don Young, and the ballot measure results are separated only by a few dozen. On Election Day, the Kodiak Archipelago precincts with the highest in-person turnout were Ouzinki, with over 40% turnout, the Mission Road precinct with 35% turnout, or 1,300 voters, and Kodiak No. 2, sometimes called the Teen Center, with 32% turnout, or 650 voters. Yakutat had the highest district-wide turnout of almost 50%. On the island, Chiniac had the lowest in-person turnout with only 5 ballots cast, and the South Precinct, which includes Karluk and Akiak, saw a 12% Election Day turnout. Villages, though, were encouraged to send their ballots in via mail, so these numbers will likely increase next week. In the presidential race, only 2 Kodiak Archipelago precincts voted for the Democratic ticket. That's Chiniac and Ouzinki. The Mission Road precinct announced their overwhelming support for the Republican incumbents, with 71% of the votes for the president and 75% of the votes for Senator Sullivan. The story is a little different for the U.S. House race. 6 of Kodiak's district's 14 precincts cast more votes for independent challenger Elise Galvin than for incumbent Republican Don Young. And even then, the margin favoring Young in other precincts is fewer than 10 votes. 7 of Kodiak district's precincts voted to approve ballot measure 1 concerning oil industry taxes on Election Day, yet the measure is currently behind by only 225 votes. And 10 precincts voted to approve ballot measure 2 concerning ranked choice voting by over 100 votes. In terms of Kodiak's voice, the races to watch when over 3,000 absentee ballots are counted next week will be the U.S. House race and the ballot measures, which right now are too close to call. Alaskan Republican candidates up and down the ballot built large leads on Election Day results, and both ballot measures, which were opposed by most Republican politicians, also trailed by significant amounts. But with more than 40% of the ballots left to be counted, the outcomes of several hotly contested races remain unknown.
Republican President Donald Trump is currently leading in Alaska by more than 30% of the votes counted through Wednesday morning. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan is leading in his race against Al Gross by similar margins, as is U.S. Representative Don Young in his race against Elise Galvin. But more than 130,000 absentee and early votes remain to be counted next week, and the State Division of Elections is still adding absentee ballots that were postmarked by Election Day to that total. For many Republican candidates for the state's legislature, the margins appear to be large enough to assure victory. One is Robert Myers, a state Senate candidate for a district that includes his hometown of North Pole. He led independent challenger Marna Sanford by 35% of the votes counted so far. Myers says he expects the margin to tighten, but he doesn't see the outcome changing. He's surprised by the count so far.
I thought we would pull it off, but I didn't think it would be this dramatic. I thought that I would end up with a lead at the end of the night, but it wouldn't be nearly so big that we'd be able to claim victory so easily.
Myers' campaign positions included returning permanent fund dividends to the amount under the formula in state law, currently more than $3,000. He says voters wanted change.
They're wanting the state to go in a different direction in large part.
7 Democratic state legislators were trailing their Republican opponents on Wednesday, but at least some of them expect that to change once all of the ballots are counted next week. Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Walkowski is among those projecting what he says will be a huge shift in who's winning these races as more ballots are counted. He's trailing his Republican opponent, Madeline Geiser, by just 207 votes, and there are roughly 5,500 votes to be counted next week in the district. Walkowski says conservative Republicans elected with promises of full dividends without new taxes will face practical and political problems. The size of the state's deficit with full dividends is more than $2 billion.
You got to make that up somewhere. And with this current group of legislators that we're expecting, they're not going to support additional revenue. And I don't know where they think they're going to cut $2.4 billion out of the budget. So I just don't, the math just doesn't add up. unfortunately.
Walikowski supports ballot measure 1, which would raise taxes for major oil companies in Alaska. He described the measure as essential to paying full dividends. It trails by more than 30% of the votes counted so far. And while ballot measure 2, which would overhaul Alaska's elections, is trailing by a smaller amount, it still faces a significant deficit in votes that it would need to make up. While conservatives did well on Election Day in Alaska, one cause favored by social conservatives, removing some judges, was not successful. At least half of ballots counted so far favored retaining all state judges. That includes state Supreme Court Justice Susan Carney, who was the subject of a campaign against retaining her. While the final turnout remains unclear, the combination of early, absentee, and in-person Election Day results appear certain to surpass the turnout in the last presidential election. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
The Alaska Department of Labor says it will begin issuing lost wages assistance benefits beginning tomorrow. That's a program that promises to pay some unemployed Alaskans an extra $300 per week for up to 6 weeks. When the state was approved for FEMA funding for the program in September, it said it would take 6 to 8 weeks to implement, but it's taken much longer. The state says the holdup was related to how the funds are required to be distributed. According to the Labor Department, the Lost Wages Assistance Program is separate from the Unemployment Insurance Program. That meant the state needed to build a new, separate system to distribute the additional funds. The state says it took a lot of time to build and test that system. Alaskans who received at least $100 in unemployment benefits between August 1st and September 5th are eligible.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Areas are being selected for offshore aquaculture. The feds want public comments. More after this.
Have fish in the freezer? Have it on the table in minutes with Azmi's new Cook It Frozen recipes at wildalaskaseafood.com.
Two regions already have been selected as Aquaculture Opportunity Areas, or AOAs, as part of the Trump administration's executive order in May to advance the expansion of U.S. seafood production in federal waters from 3 to 200 miles offshore. The two selected regions are in the Gulf of Mexico and off Southern California. NOAA's aquaculture program is tasked with identifying 10 AOAs over the next 5 years. The opportunity areas will use existing infrastructure such as docks, processing plants, and transportation routes to create new sustainable economic opportunities. Danielle Blacklock, director of NOAA Fisheries Office of Aquaculture, explained more at a recent Seafood Source webinar.
We're looking for places that are appropriate in multiple different ways. They need to be appropriate environmentally or ecologically, meaning that the areas have the right kind of current flow, the right kind of depth, but they also need to be appropriate socially. So we're looking to minimize user conflict. We're not going to be in shipping lanes, and we're looking to stay out of traditional fishing grounds. We're also trying to make sure that they're economically appropriate, meaning that they're close enough to a port that their harvest is not too much of a challenge.
Blacklock said NOAA hopes to also collaborate with states for AOAs in their regions. That could have some appeal for Alaska. Paul DeRamus is Chief Operating Officer for NOAA Fisheries.
There is a very vibrant mariculture industry in Alaska and an enormous amount of interest in seaweed production and various types of mollusken shellfish. This also is a path towards diversifying the seafood sector and something that a lot of folks in Alaska are very excited about. They're not excited about finfish, so that's unlikely to happen.
The public can comment through December 22nd on the aquaculture opportunity areas being selected. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 5th day of November, the year 2020. The sun rose today at 8:34 and it will set again at 5:12 p.m. That's going to give us 8 hours and 38 minutes of precious daylight. a loss of 4 minutes and 31 seconds compared to yesterday. Looking at our local tides, here on the east side, we have a high tide coming up at 3:55 p.m. That will be an 8.8-foot tide. The next low tide will be at 10:53 p.m., a 0.5-foot tide. And our high tide for early tomorrow morning will be at 5:33 a.m., a 6.3-foot tide. And the low tide later tomorrow morning will be at 10:34 a.m. of 4 feet. Over on the west side, and these are the Uganic Pass tides, you have a high tide coming up at 4:24 p.m. That's going to be a 14-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 11:16 p.m. of 1.2 feet. And your next high tide will be at 5:49 a.m. of 12.05 feet. And your low tide tomorrow morning late will be at 11:27 a.m. on the west side, 5.8 feet. Currently 34 degrees here in Kodiak. It seems a lot warmer than it was yesterday. We're looking for a 40% chance of rain tonight, mainly before 9 p.m. Cloudy skies overnight with a low around 37, southwest winds to 15 miles per hour. For tomorrow, look for a 30% chance of rain, mainly between noon and 3 p.m. Mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with a high of about 45. West wind to 10 miles per hour will become light and variable tomorrow afternoon. Mariners, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. Weak troughing persists in the northeastern Gulf. A 1016 millibar low will develop along the coast just south of Prince William Sound Thursday night, then move southeast along the coast Friday to the eastern Gulf Friday night. We have a gale warning for east side offshore, Marmot Island to Sitkanak. Northwest wind to 25 knots will become southwest 35 knots tonight, seas building to 13 feet. For the Shelikof, we have a small craft advisory through tonight. Southwest wind to 20 knots will increase to 30 knots this afternoon. Seas will build to 7 feet. Chuniak and Marmot Bays, west wind to 10 knots will become south 15 knots this afternoon in both Chuniak and Marmot Bays. Well, we have a borough assembly meeting tonight, but we do have a special note about that borough assembly meeting. It will be open to very limited public attendance due to the risk level yellow we are in right now. Please call in for citizens' comments. That number is 486-3231. Again, 486-3231. The meeting, which starts at 6:30 tonight, is also live streamed on the borough website and will be broadcast right here on KMXT. Again, that's at 6:30. Number to call in, 486-3231. Things happening at the meeting tonight. Awards and presentation, including to election workers and outgoing assembly members, Andy Schroeder and Rebecca Skinner, and the administration of oath of office to the newly elected officials.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.